Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Well, hello everybody, and thanks for staying with us here on IMSA Radio and IMSA TV. We are getting ready for qualifying. We have it live in sound and vision for you, qualifying for the Hyundai Monterey Sports Car Championship event. And of course, it's WeatherTech Sports Car Championship coming up for our feature race on Sunday. Really busy weekend for IMSA this weekend, with three different events, two of which we're covering here on IMSA Radio, here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, and also at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where it is the Porsche Carrera Cup North America presented by Visit Cayman Islands. They're about to go live for their first race, imsaradio.com. And we have two players there for sound and vision. Take your pick, or do what I do and watch both together. If you can manage to multitask and you can split your screens, they're both live and free wherever you are in the world. Good to have your company. And we'll set the grid now with four pole positions up for grabs in the next hour or so for this weekend's IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. We're back in California. Different time of year than we have been there in the past, but it's a beautiful time of year to be there. No worries about the weather. Blue skies and the fog from this morning has cleared. And next up, we'll go qualifying in sound and vision as we bring IMSA TV and IMSA Radio together for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship from WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Blue skies, barely any wind, and we are ready to go qualifying in sound and vision from WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Hello everybody, and welcome to the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, where myself, John Heindorf, and Jeremy Shaw are waiting to talk you through a battle for four pole positions. We're bringing IMSA Radio and IMSA TV together with our endurance racing community from not just here at the track and in the US and North America, but around the world. If you're tuning in Europe or further afield, thank you very much indeed for being with us. We are on the left-hand coast. The locals around here will always tell you what the West Coast is, and you just replace W with B. This 2.25-mile circuit or thereabouts is a real challenge, always has been, with elevation changes. The surface itself is not in the first flush of youth, and that makes the tyre engineers and the suspension engineers have to work doubly hard here. Add to the fact that around the circuit, we never talk about track limits at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, because if you're off the track, you're in the dirt for the most part, and you don't want to be in the dirt here. Old school? Yeah. A little bit. Drivers like it here because, Jeremy Shaw, they can make a difference. And ultimately, that is what driving a racing car at speed is all about. And this is still a very, very tough challenge indeed for the driver and the rest of the team.
Very cool racetrack. A real challenge for the drivers and for the race engineers as well, because the surface here, as you say, it's older. It's the sand that blows across it all the time. We saw during the practice session a little earlier today that there was a lot of sand just swirling around on the straight between, particularly between 4 and 5, but elsewhere around this track as well. So that makes it even more slippery. It's a real challenge. And with the elevation change here as well, blind corners, you name it, it has it here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca.
Cher Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter, and you can bring us up to date. We've got people joining us all the way through the weekend with what do we need to know about what's happened so far, and also who's here, who's not here, and who have we got to watch?
Well, what's happened so far is we have seen times much quicker than what we were anticipating, particularly for practice sessions, and times quicker than we've seen before. The track record, which still stands to Catherine Legg, she set that back in 2018, that could fall today. 1 minute, 24 seconds, 0.456 was the record. Earlier in practice, Madison Snow did 1 minute 24.237, but it's not an official record yet because it's not an official session. So this qualifying session, we could see times quicker than that. In GTD, we have one driver change that is notable because Jacob Abel making his IMSA debut this weekend for Compass Racing in their Acura number 76. He will be their qualifying driver as the silver-rated driver, sharing the car with Mario Farnbacher, a race winner twice over on this series at this track, I should say. We do have another car because two hearts are better than one, as they've been saying. Heart of Racing have brought their number 27 machine out of the stable for Ian James, so we'll be doing the qualifying duties there, sharing with, again, former race winner, and actually former race winner with Mario Farnbacher, Alex Ribeiras. Welcome back to IMSA. Alex, I've missed you, my friend. In the 96 Turner Motorsport BMW, we've got Robbie Foley, and that car is going to be super fast. Not only did they lead the championship, but Bill was the quickest driver on track. That would be Bill Power, Bill Oberlin, for the first practice session yesterday. Would you like to know the rest of the qualifying drivers, or should we leave the surprise?
No, let's do it. Let's do it.
All righty. We got Rob Ferriel in the Team Hardpoint Porsche. That's car number 88. He shares that with Catherine Legg. In the 66 Gradient Racing Acura, the fastest Acura so far this weekend, Till Bechtelsheimer doing the driving duties there. And we spoke to Mark Miller a little bit earlier on. Great to hear from him. John Potter is the other Acura driver going out for qualifying in the 44 Magnus with Archangel. Beautiful speed racer liveried car still. Richard Highstand trying to bring down hometown honors for Carbon as they run the Audi here at the track closest to their shop with Steve Dinan just a little bit up the road in San Francisco. We've got Roman De Angelis, second in the championship, leading the sprint, doing the duties for the 23 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. Trent Hindman, Captain America, in the 16 Wright Motorsport Porsche. Aaron Tielitz and Frank Montecalvo in the 14 and 12 Lexuses, respectively. Zach Robichon bringing home the honors for Canada and Team Pfaff Motorsport. And then Madison Snow, once again, in Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini.
Well, comprehensive. Thank you very much, Shay, for that. Yeah, no, absolutely. Wait, that's what we like. That is the rundown then for this first part of qualifying, which will feature the GT Daytona cars. These are by any other name, GT3s, of course. IMSA adopted the GT3 formula some time ago now, and it's actually gone from strength to strength, Jeremy, hasn't it? And next year, IMSA becoming, I think, the first to bring in what they're calling GTD Pro to try and keep the factories interested and allow for full pro teams. It's not unique, but we haven't seen it in IMSA before, and already a number of manufacturers expressing interest in that. And indeed, they say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. It looks like something similar will happen at Le Mans in the GT Le Mans category, except it will be no pro teams. It will only be AMs. So the need to push the factories elsewhere there is making the ACO do something different. But lots of interest for next year. And this GT Daytona category, Jeremy, very strong indeed.
Yeah, super exciting. The competition just get it better and better and better. We've had several new teams joining in this season. One of the cars, the Gilbert Courthoff Mercedes, not making the trip out west this time, but we will have a new entrant in a couple of weeks' time in GTD at Long Beach with US Racetronics joining there with a Mercedes, actually, for Stephen Agacani and Jacob Edson. So there's just lots of lots of interest in this class. That's a pro-am, your traditional GTD lineup, but as you say, a lot of interest, I think, for next year as well.
At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, 15 minutes is what we started with on the clock. Now, if you haven't been following us all year, first of all, why not? And have you got a note from a responsible adult to tell us why you've been absent from the previous rounds? But secondly, we'll let you know about a couple of changes for 2021. When I say we're qualifying for position here, this session will set the grid for GT Daytona. The next session will award points for qualifying for GT Daytona, but does not affect the positions that this session sets. I think that's the easiest way. I've spent this time of the season trying to work out the easiest way to say that. So that is what happens. So it's the less experienced drivers in the cars now, and then the idea is that the pros go out and give the cars, thrash them within an inch of their life, basically, and go for the points. And it's Robbie Pauly who sets the benchmark to start with a time just under 90 seconds. Mr. Shaw, we have seen extraordinarily fast times this week already on Friday in the free practice sessions and again today. What do you think we might get down to? Because I think in the last session, didn't Catherine Legg's qualifying record actually get beaten by Madison Snow?
It did, yes, and also in actual fact by Trent Hindman. He dipped underneath it by a thousandth of a second as well. A little bit warmer this afternoon, perfect conditions pretty much this morning. So I don't know, she's going to be a little bit nervous. Of course, Catherine will not have an opportunity to defend that pole record here this afternoon, because Rob Ferrell will be qualifying the number 88 Porsche that she will be sharing with Rob tomorrow. But it's going to be a really, really interesting session. And you know, we've seen the BMW has been fast all the way through. Madison laid down that brilliant lap in a Lamborghini this morning. The Porsche was right there as well. The Lexus, you never count the Lexus out, do you? It's because no. Aaron Tielitz already this season in that number 14 car has had a couple of pole positions, including last time out at Road America. Couldn't get a much more different track from Road America to here. But once again, you know, Aaron, he's fast wherever he goes.
Already down to 10 minutes. And already the times begin to tumble, as on his second lap, Robbie Foley gets down to a 1:25.866. And everyone else still getting their Michelins up to temperature and pressure. It's been the talk of social media and IMSA.com and various team websites this week, but it bears saying again, Jeremy, that this track is a real challenge, not just for the drivers in that it's up and down and really tough corners, but I mentioned it in the introduction there, the surface itself, the proximity of the very fine sand on either side of the track really aren't the friends of tyre manufacturers. Michelin, the sole manufacturer now in this championship, have had to come to terms with this over the years, and my goodness, they have done. But it is not a simple matter of just bunging a new set of tyres on. Put a set of stickers on and go out qualifying. That sounds the easiest thing in the world. It really isn't as simple as that here.
Yeah, it's not. It's a super challenging track. It's just one that every driver loves coming here, and particularly for qualifying. You know, fresh set of Michelin tyres and just send it, do it, get it done. Go out there. Really, really good fun now. So, you know, the adrenaline will be pumping right here for all of these drivers with, you know, this qualifying session already. It's not far from being halfway done already.
And it is BMW from Lamborghini by just 0.2 of a second. Roman De Angelis for Heart of Racing team in third. For the 23 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. So used to only having the one car. Their second car, Ian James, in eighth position at the moment. But one thing we also know, and again, if you're tuning in sound or in sound and vision on IMSA Radio or IMSA TV, we know that these Michelin tyres are pretty durable, notwithstanding what we've just said. So we might see people staying out for the full session, although here, Jeremy, we might not. And I wonder if that will just slightly change the tactics here for the use of tyres. And whether people won't actually go all the way to the end and put so much wear on the tyres. Because, of course, they do have to start the race tomorrow on the tyres on which they qualify in this session.
Yeah, good point, John. It can be a track that you'll just, if you can lay down a really, really good lap right out of the box, then park is and keep those tyres in good shape for tomorrow. But yeah, it's only 15 minutes, and the race stint is, it'll be the first stint we're expecting to be probably 45 minutes or so, maybe thereabouts. So, it is critical, and whether you get the best out of the tyres. I think even then, it takes the drivers a few laps to get up to speed, and the time goes past so quickly for 15 minutes. I'm sure most of them will stay out for most of the session. There's Madison Snow, though. It's taken him until lap five now, 24.711. All the drivers improving their times on this most recent lap. Just 4 one-hundredths of a second behind him is Richard Heistand moving into the picture in that number 39 car barn with Peregrine Racing Audi car number 39. Trent Hindman up into third place now, super close as well. The top five cars at the moment, with including Aaron Tielitz in the number 14 Lexus and the number 23 Heart of Racing Aston Martin Roman De Andrés, all within 0.2 of a second.
Just a quick note from Gradient Racing. Thanks to Dex for this. Till Bechtelsheimer hasn't gone out yet in terms of turning a lap. No problems, just managing the tyre strategy for the race. So exactly what we were wondering there, Jeremy. Madison Snow went to the top, De Angelis went to the top, Foley now back at the top, and we're down into the 24s, 24 and a half seconds there, 1 minute 24 and a half for Robbie Foley. So starting to get a little bit serious now with 5.5 minutes to go, and still another session to come for GTD, but that's all about the points. This is starting position. This is the crucial one in terms of the grid position for tomorrow's race. What do you reckon of that then, Jeremy? Saving the tyres till the last part of qualifying to give them a little bit more life at the start of the race tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, I'm not sure I'd want to give up the track position. If I got a sixth or seventh place car, I'd want to qualify sixth or seventh rather than at the back. So if Till reckons he can go out there at the end of the session, take advantage of the fact that there's some more rubber laid down on the track and get in a fast one, great, good for him. It's certainly an interesting strategy. He's the only one to be trying that today. But the track does seem to be getting better and better now, because Roman De Andrés, he's just 0.023 behind Foley. Trent Hindman's only 0.087 behind Foley. So the track is getting faster, and the times are coming down. It's super, super tight at the front.
That's Jeremy Shaw. He's with me, John Heindorf, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Good to have your company. Down to the last 4.5 minutes, just under. Madison Snow in the pit lane at the moment from fourth position, as Trent Hindman goes quicker again by slim margins. Right Motorsport Porsche to the top of the times, Jeremy.
Yeah, by 0.063. It's that close. It's 0.0 something. 0.0 something covers the top three right now. It's Trent Hindman, a great lap by the New Jersey driver, number 16, Right Motorsports Porsche. Robbie Foley there in second place. Roman De Andrés, he's still pushing hard as he comes down the corkscrew through turn nine, and the Aston Martin in third position. Madison Snow, he doesn't quite improve on that last lap. I think he's now into the pits, but his last lap was a 24.723, just fractions slower than his best of 24.711 the lap before.
So waiting for the last couple of laps to come in here. Porsche, BMW, Aston Martin, Lamborghini, Audi, Lexus. That's your top six, all different manufacturers. Robbie Foley into the pit lane. I think that'll be it. Sherwood would be reminding us now at this stage that you're not allowed to touch the car in this qualifying session. That would negate all of your times. So if you've come in at the moment, there's really barely enough time to get out and back around again. Roman De Angelis goes up towards turn number 5. Robbie Fawley, as I say, in the pitch. Trent Hindman still out. The number 16 car just coming down to the Andretti hairpins. The 16 car, rather, coming down to the Andretti hairpins now at the start of the lap. That's your pole sitter provisionally at the moment. Interesting that Fawley has 2 of 3 fastest sectors, but isn't on pole position, Jeremy. He's got sector 1 and 2 tied up.
Yeah, but a brilliant effort there by Trent Hindman to in the final sector then to put it all together. And he hasn't been on the pole position since 2019 when he went on to win the championship. But he's done a super job in this session so far. There's Roman De Angelis ducking into the pit lane as well, out of third position. So second, third and fourth are now in the pit lane, as are cars farther down the order. Frankie Montecalvo in number 12 Lexus, he's down in ninth position. And still no sign of the gradient racing accuracy. I think it's definitely too late for them now to even set a lap at all. So starting at the back, okay, it's a bit of a gamble, I think, by that team. We know the Acuras work very, very well around here, but to go at that track position is, to me, slightly surprising. But you know, they've analysed everything. They think that's the best thing for that team.
What are the rules about people who change tyres and how they get put to the back of the grid? So if you don't go out at all, are you in front of the people who did go out and then change tyres?
Yes.
I think so, yes.
Right.
Presumably, but assuming the car is in the pit lane with some tyres on it, and therefore presumably they have to change tyres for the second session that comes up very shortly with these new rules this season. It's hard to get my head around those, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a separate session, though. So
it is a separate session, yeah, but you're supposed to change tyres for that second session. And if you didn't go out in the first session, does that matter?
Well,
I don't know.
I suppose it just matters what car tyres were marked. So if they put a brand new set of tyres on and then didn't use them, the word from the team was they were managing their tyre strategy for the race. I thought that meant they might do 1 or 2 laps. But if they put a brand new set of tyres on, which are now marked as their starting tyres, they then put a different set of tyres on for the points. And whether they decide to use a new set of tyres or not, I guess it's up to where they feel Mark Miller can get to for the points. But then if anybody else decides to change the new tyres, they would be in front of them in brand new on brand new tyres.
That is correct.
Yeah, well, I'm presuming so. But with the number 66 car not having gone out at all in this session, does that then count as a change of tyres for the race? I don't know.
It's the marked tyres.
No.
It doesn't matter because they're going to be at the back in any case or close to the back. But a tremendous effort there by Trent Hindman. This is his fourth pole position in IMSA World Tech Sports Car Championship competition. He had 3 poles back in 2019 when he went on to win the championship. That was in an Acura for Meyer Shank Racing. He had poles at Sebring, Watkins Glen and Lime Rock that season. So this is another feather in the cap of Trent Hindman.
So that is the provisional pole position. Sorry, go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, excuse me. He's sharing this car, of course, with Patrick Long, who will now drive the car in this next session. And Patrick Long is one of the most successful drivers here. He's had 5 wins previously at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, more than anybody else in this field. And he had one pole position here himself. That was in a DP car back in 2006 when he didn't win the race that year. He won DP here in 2007. But Patrick Long is going to be very interested to see now. He's comparing notes there with Trent Hindman. And Patrick Long now will go out there and try and replicate the fastest time for that Wright Motorsports Porsche and gain the maximum 35 points from this upcoming session.
Just a quick note. That's rather annoying. The timing screen has switched over to a different category. The timing screen, as I was looking at it, wasn't ordered properly. It was ordered for a race and not for qualifying, and so some of those positions beyond first and second weren't correct because Madison Snow had a faster time than the car that was shown ahead of him. So I'm going to have to go back and look at that now. And that was because the car above him had done 7 laps and he'd only done 6. So there's a slight snag on the Alcamel timing system. Snow had done a 24.7, De Angelis a 24.8. So, in fact...
That was a previous lap. That was a last laps.
Right, okay.
So his best was 24.711. De Angelis best was a 24.591.
Right, okay, fine. I see.
Or rather, it wasn't Sellers, was it? It was Madison Snow, yeah. In the number one car. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Rather confusing how they...
So we had basically the 0.3 of a second covering the top 7 in that qualifying session. It was Trent Hindman then for Porsche, the BMW of Robbie Foley, Aston Martin of Roman De Angelis, the Lamborghini of Madison Snow, the Audi of Richard Highstand, second of the Porsches with Zach Robichaud down in 6th position, and Aaron Tielitz in the best of the Lexuses is in 7th position. But as I say, all of them covered by just 0.3 of a second. That's tight.
Yeah. So now there's a quick reset, and we will add in the GT Le Mans cars. They'll be racing for points and position, and the GTDs now are qualifying for points and position, and now the GTDs qualify for just the points. Oh, stop pushing that bar. That's a bit close. Right, motorsport car. braver than I am on a pit lane that is by no means flat at any point. It's all pretty much slightly uphill. And I thought if they'd lost control of that, that could have been nasty. So now qualifying, Shea. What do you know about the qualifying drivers for GT Le Mans in terms of the points and the positions?
I can tell you that for Corvette Racing, it is Team America across the board. Jordan Taylor in the championship leading number 3 machine, and Tommy Milner in the number 4. And Jeremy, I will beg you not to say what you did earlier, because every time we bring that up about Tommy, it doesn't come to fruition. So just not going to talk about that and hope that the silver Corvette can get a pole position once again this year, but this time with Tommy driving. And then for Porsche, it should be Cooper McNeil in the 79 WeatherTech Racing machine, as he gets to go out, and indeed it is, with the white and black helmet on it. Beautiful livery. Cooper, very much a second home track, got the win at his real home track, Road America, last time out, looking to try and make it 2 in a row.
So, still waiting for this session to get underway, and if Jeremy Shaw promises he's not going to talk about Tommy Milner, he's going to make another point.
I'll talk about the other Corvette in that case. Jordan Taylor going out now, looking to score his third pole in a row, I think, isn't it, in that number 3 car. And he and his brother Ricky are tied for most poles amongst the field in this here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca in the field this weekend. Both of them had 3 previous poles. Jordan had the pole in the prototype in 2015 and 2018. Also, he is the defending pole sitter here from 2020. His brother Ricky has had the DP pole in 2011, the prototype pole in 2017, and the DPI pole. Yeah, top category each time, but different nomenclature for the prototypes of that era in 2019 as well. So both of them tied them for 3 poles coming to this weekend. So Jordan, of course, will be driving the number 3 car in this session.
So still waiting for the start of the next session. Just seems to break the flow up, this long gap between these two sessions. The procedures that we had in the past were pretty much quick fire. I wonder if for the future, and I know IMSA are talking to all the teams about this, that we might roll a different category out in between these two, so that they've got time to make their changes and change their drivers. Although, of course, next year, with the addition of GTD Pro, presumably the Pro class will qualify separately. And from the AMs, at the moment GTD, a Pro-Am category. Just waiting for the green flag for this session, another 15-minute session to break into life. So we will be setting grid positions for GT Le Mans, and it will be points only for GTD Pro. Just remember that, because I will forget and talk about somebody being on provisional pole in GTD. That's been set. We know how that has gone.
Yes, indeed. By the way, I think I said that Jordan Turley going for his third consecutive pole. It's actually his fourth consecutive pole. It would be for Jordan. He was on the pole for the second Watkins Glen race, also at Lime Rock Park, and then last time out at Road America as well. So he's very much on a roll in qualifying in that number three Corvette. And the previous round, the first of the two races at Watkins Glen, it was his co-driver Antonio Garcia who started on the front position. And this, that car, it's won three of those races, but not the most recent one. That most recent race at Road America was won by the WeatherTech Racing Proton Competition number 79 Porsche. So Antonio Garcia and Jordan Taylor looking to get themselves back into the victory lane this weekend and to extend their already pretty commanding championship lead in GTLM.
Engines beginning to come to life. And that's Cooper McNeil, I think, in the WeatherTech car share, is it?
It is, yeah. And I'm just hearing from the pit lane, there is a lot of driver intel being shared between all of the cars, from the starting driver to the now points-paying driver. A lot of them have scrambled up onto the pit boxes to discuss with the engineers and to, more importantly, relay the information to their co-driver about perhaps where they made some time or, more importantly, lost some, to see if their co-driver can benefit.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And, of course, that just goes to what we often say about sports car racing. It is a team game. At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch with us, a busy weekend with Porsche Carrera Cup North America racing right now at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And their first of three races this weekend. We'll have three more for them at the Petit Le Mans race weekend at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta to finish off their season. All covered for you live on imsaradio.com on our live video page. If you've already found what you're watching now, you'll notice we've got two players there this weekend. Double the excitement from IMSA. So put them on two screens, watch them with one eye each. Or, of course, you can listen to the archive if you decide to throw all of your attention one way or the other, as IMSA is providing so much content this weekend. So the green flag has been thrown, and the points for the GTDs we'll leave to one side at the moment. We'll keep a little bit of a weather eye on that, but really the important part of this is the first opportunities for the GT Le Mans cars to go out and to set their grid positions and to get their points as well. I'm not being dismissive about the points at all, because actually it is so tight, and we expect it to be so tight at the end of the season, Jeremy, that the additional points here for where the pros qualify these GTD cars can make a difference and can fill the gap if during the race you finish a couple of places back from one of your championship contenders. You can almost sort of top it up in this session.
Oh, very true. Absolutely right. And you're coming into this weekend in GTD. The number 96 Turner Motorsport BMW has just an 18-point advantage over the number 23 Aston Martin, Romain Grosjean and Ross Gunn. And there's 35 points up for grabs for the pole sitter here. The lead is unlikely to change in this session. You're unlikely to get a 17-point swing here, true, but it could be critical by the end of the season. And when we look forward to when the DPI cars go out there, there's just 2 points this weekend separating the second and third place cars and teams in this race, with the number 31 car, Felipe Nasr and Pipo Durrani, just 2 points ahead of Oliver Jarvis and Harry Ticknell in the Mazda coming into this weekend.
This is a round of the GTD Sprint Cup as well, Jeremy, isn't it?
It is. And for GTD in that, the number 23 Aston Martin has a pretty handy margin. They got actually 202-point margin over Robbie Foley and Bill Oblin. The main reason for that is that the third round of the Sprint Cup series, which was at Watkins Glen, was not a particularly good result for the Turner Motorsport BMW. Finished down in the 12th position there. Worst finish for a long, long time. So that's that put a big dent in their championship hopes there. The Aston Martin, by contrast, in the Sprint Cup, has had 2 wins, a third and 2 fourths from the 5 previous rounds.
And what sort of time should we be looking for GTLM here for their qualifying and setting the pace at the front of the field? It was the two Corvette split by the Porsche in the final free practice session, but by his own admission, I think Cooper wouldn't expect to be mixing it with the with Jordan Taylor and Tom Milner.
No, I would expect the Corvettes to be duking it out between them. And Jordan Taylor set a new record here last year by just under a tenth of a second. It used to be held by Jesse Crone, but Jordan Taylor took it last year at 121.483. The fastest lap this morning was by by Tommy Milner at 121.680. So he's got to find a couple of tenths of a second in this session compared to this morning's time. I wouldn't be surprised if he did that. When both of the Corvettes did their qualifying sim this morning, it was actually while there were other cars out on a racetrack. It wasn't until the final 15 minutes, which is the pro drivers only, which is kind of interesting. And we will see, perhaps, whether that was significant or not.
Well, coming down to the end of the lap, Tom Milner and Jordan Taylor qualifying the two Corvettes. And across the line then for Jordan Taylor, 124.0. I realise what the problem was earlier on. And fixed it. 10 minutes to go. 124.016 for Jordan Taylor. Brian Sellers aiming for top points at the moment to back up the pole position already earned by Paul Miller Racing for the Lamborghini. 124.5 for Brian Sellers. Second in GTD, Pat Long for Wright Motorsports Porsche. Third, Bill Oberlin, Turner Motorsport. Top three drivers, all with GT Le Mans experience in the GT Daytona ranks at the moment. And as I say that, Brian Sellers spoils that for me, doesn't he? Sorry, Wright that got pole position for GT Daytona, not Paul Miller Racing. Brian Sellers coming down through the corkscrew. Just coming down to 9 minutes to go. 124.524 he has. Let's see if he can beat that as Jordan Taylor goes quicker at the front of the field. And now down to a 21.5, Jeremy. Pace picking up. Of course, we should mention that the GT Le Mans category is different to all the other classes here in that they have a choice of Michelin slick compound tyres, whereas everyone else is running on a spec supplied tyre from Michelin. And it's not unknown for them to mix and match those tyres that they have available to them in the GT Le Mans class, Jeremy.
Without conditions being super hot this weekend either, it's pretty comfortable conditions. What was it, 20 degrees centigrade, which is, what's that about, nearly 70 degrees, is it? Not sure what that is.
2066, and on the track 66, okay. It's 45, yeah, so nice. So that's up to, 113 in the Fahrenheit scale. So that's getting a bit toasty for the Michelins. on track.
That's kind of not unusual there. That lap, by the way, by your Jordan Taylor, 121.588. That is the quickest of the day so far, but it's fractionally outside his record from last year by about a tenth of a second.
Top point score at the moment, provisionally, for Heart of Racing Roscombe. The 23 Aston Martin bounces to the top in the sunshine here at WeatherTech Racing Laguna Seca, 125.153. Now, does that count as a lap record? Because it's not a qualifying session.
It's a point scoring session. I agree. No, I agree with you. It won't count for my records. But another asterisk. I hate all these asterisks we're having this year. The pole position should be the session that counts for record, I believe. So no, I don't think it will count for your record, but it is quicker than the lap time from last year. And remarkably, Brian Sellers is only 0.014 slower in second place at the moment. So we've got a heck of a battle now going on in GTD.
And a further 0.059 back is Jack Hawksworth for the Vassar Sullivan Lexus. And all of 0.033 further back is Patrick Long. Add that all together, and you've got about a tenth of a second between first and fourth in GTD for the points being. Remember, we've set the grid already, and Pat Long's teammate has put the Wright Motorsports Porsche on pole position. Got to keep reminding that, mostly for myself rather than anything else. And we're down to the last 6.5 minutes as Roscoe knocks it down to a 23.8 for a GTD car in that Heart of Racing Aston. This is the dark blue checkered car, number 23, heading to turn 3 and 4 at the moment. That is some time, Jeremy.
Well, that really is a remarkable effort there by Ross Gunn. I mean, it's come from nowhere, quite frankly. That car hasn't showed that sort of pace all weekend long. But when it matters, when points are on the line and they are vying for the championship lead in the overall championship, they already lead the Sprint Cup, as we said a little while ago, and they're trying to get back into the lead, which they lost on the points from the most recent race at Road America. So brilliant effort there by Ross Gunn, still looking for his first pole position.
121.3 is now the mark to beat in GT Le Mans. Tom Milner, last time around, just nudged his time down a couple of ticks of the clock and stretches out to all of 0.024 of a second. So that's a change there. Milner goes to the top ahead of Taylor, 0.024. And Cooper McNeil, only another second further back. Now, I know it's a relatively short circuit here. I think Cooper will be quite pleased with that. He absolutely should be. That is a stout performance.
It really is. And sub record, new lap record there for Tommy Milner, still looking for that first pole position in his 81st start this weekend. He hasn't qualified the car in all of those 81 races, of course, but he's still chasing that first pole. Oops, sorry, I wasn't supposed to talk about that, was I?
No. Hashtag blame Shaw. We have Corvette Nation hunting you down now, Jeremy. Jordan now 0.044 behind as it goes down to 121.322. And how about this for Cooper McNeil? At 121.9, he's now only half a second behind Jordan Taylor. It's getting better. It's getting better for Cooper McNeil. Now, if it gets hot and a bit slippery, it is Porsche time, no doubt. But those mid-engined Corvette C8Rs, beautifully balanced. But that is a heck of a time from Cooper McNeil.
Yeah, and it virtually matches the time set this morning by Matty Campbell. He turned a 23.917, I think it was this morning. 9.14 it was this morning.
Of course Cooper it was 9.14, it's a Porsche time.
Excellent job. Yeah, really. Excellent effort by Cooper McNeil. Well done, Cooper.
Well, that tells me...
Milner faster again.
Oh, 21-1.
But Taylor eclipses him.
21-2 and then a 21-1 from the two Corvettes. Cooper McNeil doesn't improve that time around. That was a slowdown lap. But that tells me that the WeatherTech Porsche is really nicely balanced, Jeremy, and that Cooper is comfortable in that car. The likelihood is he'll start the car tomorrow, and it will be his job to try and keep with the Corvettes through the traffic before handing off to Matt Campbell to finish the race. And that tells me that they've got every chance of doing that. And that car looks, in visual terms, it looks really nice. And it's riding the bumps well. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't translate to a lap time. It is here. That's a good car for tomorrow, that Porsche.
Yeah, tremendous effort there. Lawrence Vanthoor, did we talk about Lawrence Vanthoor moving up to second
place
in GTD for Pfaff Motorsports? He did that, a lap or so ago, sixth lap. He's now completed eight laps. So second place for the Pfaff Porsche. That pushes Bill Oblin down to third position, Brian Sellers to fourth, Hawksworth to fifth, and Patrick Long in the car that will start on pole position tomorrow in GTD for Wright Motorsports, the number 16 Porsche, now down in sixth place.
So into the last 2 minutes now. Points still up for grabs in GT Daytona. It's 23 Heart of Racing, Aston Martin from 9 Porsche. These are points position. Pfaff in second, Turner Motorsport in third for BMW. Fourth and in the pits, Paul Miller Racing's Lamborghini. Fifth, Vassar Sullivan's Lexus. It's the 14 car. Bill Oberlin now goes at the pits as well. Rounding off the top six, the Paul Sittler Wright Motorsports. That's your top six for points in GTD. For points and position, Corvette, WeatherTech, Porsche. Only 7/10, call it just under 8/10 actually, between the top three. And just over 6/10 between Cooper McNeil and a front row start. I said beforehand that I didn't think Cooper would be expecting to split the Corvettes. He said, damn sight closer that they're doing that than I expected, Jeremy.
Yeah, that's I think by far Cooper's best qualifying performance here. Of course, you know, WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, he's got a lot of he regards this as kind of a home track for him. He certainly had a lot of racing here and success here in the past in various different categories. So it's been he's taken full advantage of that this afternoon, Cooper McNeil, to put that car in close contention in that third position. And I think now all of the GTD cars are on pit lane with still half a minute to go. So the only car on track right now actually is Tommy Milner, who's just going out to try and set one more lap. Last time around was a 21.5 for Tommy Milner. And he needs to find 4/10 of a second compared to that lap time if he's going to knock his teammate Jordan Taylor off the pole position.
Yeah, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that the Michelins can give him the kind of performance. We've seen it happen in the past where last man across the line has got pole position as the VP Racing fuel burns off. The car gets a bit lighter. Proper qualifying session. Time's elapsed, by the way, so it will be checkered flag this time around. Checking the splits, I'm not sure he's going to be able to challenge
green.
His team. Oh, hang on a second. Green, yeah, in that middle sector. You'll tell if he stays out, and he is staying out. So he must think he's got a chance in this final sector. Through the final corner, a little bit sideways, a little bit of dust thrown up from the last left-hander. Now the long run to the line. He diamonds across to the finishing line. 121.530. Ends up 0.116 away from his teammate. So that wasn't an improvement there. But must have thought he had a chance there, Jeremy, in that after that middle sector.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think that was an identical lap time to his previous lap, actually. Certainly very, very close to the 21.5 in any case. So good consistency there from Tommy Milner, certainly. But again, it's Jordan Taylor who will have yet another pole position. He'll break that tie, at least for the time being, with his brother Ricky, as he gets his fourth pole position here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. This also, by the way, will be for Jordan. This is his 10th pole position in total, which is second in the all-time rankings here for the Inter WeatherTech Sports Car Championship since 2014. His brother Ricky has 13 pole positions. Now make that 10 for Jordan Taylor. Actually, James French is in second position on 12, but this will move Jordan Taylor up to third in the overall, in the all-time most successful pole qualifiers in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship.
Congratulations there. to Jordan Taylor. So Tom Milner still doesn't have his pole position. Hashtag blame Jeremy. Just saying it. Yeah, absolutely. Nothing to do with us, Shane. Nothing. We never said a word.
No, we're the innocent parties here.
Yeah, you are. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Shame. I was. I think everybody was hoping for Tommy to get that. He's had such great success here in the past. There's a congratulations there from his from Jordan's dad, Wayne, who strolled along from the Konica Minolta prototype team. Now he's going to, of course, to see if his other son Ricky can get the pole in that. If Ricky's qualifying the car, which I think he's not actually. Is he this weekend? Shay, do we know?
Don't know yet.
But certainly another tremendous effort there. Fourth pole position in a row then for Jordan Taylor in GTLM. Already the championship leader coming into this weekend, and a new track record.
It's Jeremy Short. He's with me, John Hindhoff, in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre as we're ready for the next session of qualifying. Share Adam, our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock Reporter. Photographer extraordinaire Rick Dole capturing that for posterity with the pole sitters down there. And we're waiting for the next session to come around. What do you know, Shea, in terms of what is going to be happening?
I can tell you the LMP2 qualifying drivers, John Ferrano for Tower Motorsport in the number 8, Stephen Thomas looking for another pole position in the number 11 for Wynn Autosport, one of two teams that tested here before actually coming to the track. So Stephen knows the track fairly well, having driven it a couple weeks ago. Dwight Merriman will be in the 18 Aero Motorsport LMP2 machine. And for the 52, it will be Ben Keating, once again, the fastest guy so far this weekend in the LMP2 category, for PR1 Matheson, trying to get the home pole position. Just before we leave the GTs, though, I've been doing a bit of math, and you know what happens when I do math. by my count, the championship after that qualifying session is down to a 5-point lead for Heart of Racing, 1947 points compared to 1942 for Turner Motorsport. Then in third is Pfaff with 1862, and fourth, Paul Miller Racing with 1834. In sprint category, with the maximum amount of points going the way of the sprint championship leaders coming in, they continue to lead 1725 points ahead of now second Turner Motorsports 1518. But third is the 14 Lexus on its own. It was in a tiebreak with its sister car. They're only 5 points behind Turner Motorsport, and then the sister car is further back. So that did have an effect in the sprint championship as well as the overall.
Thank you, Shea. Excellent work. So the usual formalities going on down in the pit lane as the GTLM pole sitter has photos, interviews. Antonio Garcia down there as well now, talking to his teammate and passing on the congratulations. In fact, the two pole sitting GT cars, the number 16 right blue and white and black car sitting in behind the Corvette. It's only when you see them close together that you realise just how compact a 991 Porsche is. And I actually think that's quite a chunky car now, but next to the Corvette, it looks like a 3/4 size or a 7/8 size model, Jeremy, as it's sitting in behind the Corvette. That's extraordinary.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Isn't that weird, that perspective that we're looking at on the pit lane here? But tell you what, both cars are super effective, aren't they? They were both the Porsche won't get the most points out of this qualifying session, but it will have honour of starting on pole position tomorrow, and that's more important in the championship chase because the number 16 car is currently runs in the fifth position. It's a couple of hundred points behind the leaders at the moment, but that's in new money. In old money points, that's only 20 points, which is far from insurmountable with three races remaining in the season.
So just one further session. This is the combined session for the prototypes, both LMP2 and Daytona prototypes. That should give us 10 cars out on track, so there should be no issues with the guys being able to find a bit of track and a clear lap. Another 15 minutes set to go on the clock. And Jeremy, before we get into this, just remind us of the sort of times that we've been seeing this week from this group of cars.
Yeah, we've seen lap record, sub-lap record times for both categories. It's very unlikely that we'll see a new lap record, I think, in LMP2 in qualifying, because the AM drivers, as Shay was talking about a few minutes ago, will be qualifying those cars in LMP2. But we've seen some super fast times so far. The quickest of the weekend was set by Ryan Dial this morning at 117.065, which was actually 17.0 was just fractionally outside of the fastest. Yeah, actually, the fastest time was set yesterday by Mikkel Jensen at 116.1, and that was underneath the old qualifying lap record for LMP2. For DPI, the record stands to Ricky Taylor. He set that 2 years ago, 2019, at 1 minute 15.035. The fastest time this weekend, a 1:14.552. That was by Harry Tinknell this morning in number 55, Mazda.
And it will be Tinknell who qualifies that car. Share Adam may have some news from the VP Racing Fuels pit and paddock report on who else will be taking qualifying duties here.
Well, I saw a flash of green behind the wheel of the MSR Acura.
So Kermit the Frog's qualifying then?
Well, that's what I was going to say, because both Olivier and Dane have green on their helmets, so it doesn't really help that much. It's definitely Philippe Albuquerque in the number 10 Konica Minolta Acura, though, the sister manufacturer car out on the circuit, and Philippe will want to be trying to maintain the honor for Wayne Taylor's organization of taking another pole position. A blue helmet is in the number 5 Mustang sampling Cadillac, which easily means it's Tristan Vautier. I really appreciate that he and Loic have very different helmets. I have yet to see who's driving for Chip Ganassi in this session, whether it would be Ranger Vandazanda or perhaps none other than K-Mag, Special K. The 31 is either Pipo Durrani or Felipe Nasr. It's been Pipo who's been the fastest guy on track for a lot of time so far this weekend. I tend to want to put him in. But if our mock qualies are to be believed, yeah, John, it'll be Ranger, Philippe Nasr, and Olivier Plot in those three cars.
Don't forget, they put people back in for the last 15 minutes.
That is true.
Which I thought was interesting. And there was nothing between them this morning. What was a 0.002 of a second at the sharp end of the field? Engine sounds are telling us, without even seeing the green flag waving, which it is being waved to the pit lane because that's where everyone is, and we are out and running. It is K-Mag, Special K in the 01 Cadillac, Tristan Fortier, John Ferrano for Tower Motorsports number 8 Orica LMP2, Philippe Albuquerque for the number 10 Konica Minolta, Stephen Thomas for Wynn Autosports number 11 Orica in LMP2, Dwight Merriman in the 18 for Era, Pete Durrani in the 31 car from Ben Keating in the 52, that's the Piowa Matheson LMP2 car. Dane Cameron for Mayershank Racing in the Acura DPI. And yet to go out, the number 55, but I'm pretty certain that's going to be Harry Tinknell. Although on the timing, it still has Ollie Jarvis's name next to it. I think that's just alphabetical whilst it's sitting in the pit lane. Does that surprise you, Jeremy, that Durrani's been plugged back in again to qualify?
No, I mean, there's nothing to choose between those two, generally speaking, I would say, although arguable. Nasr, there certainly isn't much to choose between them. Pipo's had success here in the past. He's won here a few years ago. Nasr's still looking for his first win here, but whoever has the final stint in a race is going to be well-placed to go for the win, no question about it. That car's been fast all weekend long.
So we'll wait for them to get up to speed and start turning the kind of laps that we expect. Don't forget, for the race on Sunday, if you're in the States, XM202 on NBCSN. Dave Burns and Calvin Fish in the booth. Brian Tilt in the pit lane. And if you're outside the US, then live, free, and without interruption, go to the live video tab on imsaradio.com or go to imsa.tv and we'll give you flag to flag coverage. All happening on Sunday afternoon. 454 even around the track on our scanner frequency as well. So let's see who makes the first charge and whether it's a first push lap or they're prepping the Michelin tyres. Always interesting to see how the tyres are brought in. First car to come round will be the number 10 of Philippe Albuquerque, the Konica Minolta team. He goes across the line now and starts his fast lap. Then the red and white Whelen engineering car. So Albuquerque with clear track ahead of him. And the only car ahead of him is Harry Tinknell. And Harry's just coming out on his outlap in the 55 Mazda. He's at turn six right now. Eleven and a half minutes to go. Ben Keating goes through in the number 52, P.R. Matheson. Now we wait for them to come round and start clicking off the times. Just checking to see where that first car is. Coming down the final corner now then for the number 10 of Philippe Albuquerque. Rounds the final left-hander right now. So this is the first push lap. Let's see where it sits. Jeremy Shaw watching interestedly. 1:15.8, Jeremy. Not
yeah,
bad.
Pretty good.
Not
no,
bad.
Pretty good first lap there. Durrani fractionally slower, 16.1. K-Mag, 16.3. The quickest on that, the first flying lap, actually, was Dane Cameron at an 18.1. So we're going to see he's coming across the line right now. He goes to the top, does Dane Cameron. A 1:14.957. So that's the first sub-15-minute lap here in this qualifying session. And the first sub 1 minute 15 lap in qualifying in ever here in a DPI car at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca.
Got some news coming in that is going to affect GT Daytona. I'm just Shears on it at the moment and just doing some arithmetic here, but it is going to affect the top of the championship in GT Daytona with a penalty coming through for a violation at the end of their qualifying session. We'll get back to that in a moment as we're watching the times here with Dane Cameron on that 14.9. Then
laid it down and now he's on
the cool down
lap. That was a great lap for Dane Cameron out of the box. That team struggled yesterday with this number 60 car. Some big changes overnight and came back much stronger this morning. I think this is a cool down lap now and he'll probably go for another one coming up next time around. See what he can see if he can go even faster. It's still quickest though. Dane Cameron with that 14.957, just outside 1 minute 50, 1:15.053 for Philippe Albuquerque in the other Acura car number 10.
So that was a 25, so 10 seconds slower. That's what Jeremy means by the cool down lap. Ben Keating goes to the top of LMP2 with a 1:17.8. For PR1 Matheson Motorsport, he's really laying it down ahead of everybody else. Nobody anywhere near that at the moment as they're getting up to speed.
Yeah, he's got 3 seconds or more in hand over Stephen Thomas, who's in second place at the moment, ahead of John Ferrano in third and Dwight Merriman in fourth position. So that PR1 Matheson Motorsports Orica car number 52, Ben Keating, head and shoulders above everybody else at the moment.
Right, before anything else happens. It's still Cameron from Albuquerque by 0.0. No, it's not, because Albuquerque's gone to the top. I'll get to you in a moment, Shay, because I know we've got some important news, and Harry Tinknell's pushing on as well. Hasn't had a representative lap yet. Remember, he went out much later than everybody else. So he's on his push lap now. Shea Adam, news from GT Daytona that affects both the overall and the sprint championship.
In terms of when you may exit a car in between the sessions, the driver can get out when they do get back to the pit box. But at the end of the session, the driver must remain in the car until the checkered flag. Ross Gunn did not remain behind the wheel of the 23 Heart of Racing Aston Martin, resulting in a loss of qualifying times, meaning that that car will score no points from the qualifying session, which by my math, once again, my math, puts Turner Motorsport comfortably back in the lead of the class, 1944 points versus the 1912 of Roman and Ross. That is a big swing.
I'll come back to you about the grid position in a moment, but we've got a new fastest lap, Jeremy Shaw, and it's, to coin a good old motorsport phrase, a new qualifying record.
It is. Dane Cameron, he was on the pole here 1 year ago at 115.174, which is just over a tenth of a second outside the lap record that was set the previous year by Ricky Taylor. But now Cameron has eclipsed that 145.20. But Albuquerque again bounces back, 114.441. These cars are just getting quicker and quicker. It's the Portuguese now, Philip Albuquerque, and the Konica Minolta Acura, who goes back to the top of the charts.
Before we get more changes, underline that Ben Keating is still at the top of LMP2, 117.2. So sitting at very pretty, 3.5, nearly 4 seconds ahead of everybody else. And in fact, that is a cracking time from Ben. Shea, just to underline what we were talking about there, for that Aston Martin, that was in the point scoring session. I presume that does not affect their grid position then?
Correct. If it is for the point scoring session, it has no impact on the position qualifying session.
Got
if
me.
Race control decides that that is the thing. But remember, we talked about this the last weekend out. Drivers got out of their car before the checkered flag had come out. Race control clarified it for us before the session was even done, that drivers are allowed to get out in the 10-minute break, but they are still to remain in their cars after the points qualifying session has concluded.
Got you. Still, the battle for pole position goes on. Pipo Durrani sitting in fourth at the moment. He's nearly a full second away from Philippe Albuquerque. He goes across the line now. He was creating a bit of a gap for himself. Oh, loses the back end of the car. Lots of steering input going through the Andretti hairpins. And just balancing the car through the middle and on the exit, he'll know immediately that that lap, I think, has gone away there. Wasn't using all the exit curb from turn three either. Looks smooth through four, but I'm not sure that this lap's going to be an improvement for Pipo, Jeremy.
I think you're right, John, and you know, he hasn't yet got within a half a second of the time he set this morning in that car either. Everybody else is, pretty much everybody else is going faster. Certainly Kevin Magnussen is. He's third fastest at the moment. The other surprise, Harry Tinknell, he's just managed to get himself ahead of Ben Keating, also ahead of Tristan Vergier. So Tinknell up into fifth position now, but almost a full second behind the two Acuras at the front of the field at the moment.
Yeah. Those are the two cars that are, in terms of what we're used to seeing here, adrift just a little bit. So Albuquerque comes to the pit lane with still 4.5 minutes to go. I would suggest that the 114.4 then, that is going to be the Konica Minolta Gambit. 0-1 Cadillac. Kevin Magnussen needs to find half a second to get on the front row. 6 tenths to be on pole position. Uses all of the exit curb from turn three, and he's got Durrani using him as a target as well. The red and white car behind is Durrani as they head up towards turn number five. Magnussen, nice front end on that Cadillac, turned in really sharply at turn five. Now climbing the hill to turn six. Durrani on a decent lap as well, I reckon. But they're not setting best sectors. 3.5 minutes to go. Magnussen at the top of the corkscrew and through it. Right, illuminated number three on the side of the 0-1 car. Inside of row two at the moment for the 0-1 Cadillac. Down into the final corner.
second in the first sector alone, John, compared to Albuquerque.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dwight Merriman up to second position in LMP2.
2.5 seconds back, though. That's a heck of a time from Keating. Ben's hooked it up this weekend, hasn't he?
He certainly has. That was fantastic effort by him. He's only, he's 1.8 seconds behind Tristan Vautier, who just brought number 5 Cadillac into the pits. There was no improvement there for Jan Magnussen, but only by 0.06 of a second. He came very, very close to matching his previous best. There is an improvement for Dane Cameron, but it's not quite enough. 0.023 separates the two Acuras at the moment, with still a couple of minutes remaining. So he's got time for one kind of cool down lap here, Cameron, and then one more fast lap if he chooses to go for it.
Here comes Tinknell. He's going to improve. He's got a little bit of traffic ahead of him. It's Stephen Thomas in the Wynn Autosport car just coming down the final corner now, setting 2 green times. That's best for Harry. Now, this might just move him up ahead of Pipo Durrani. They're only 0.04 of a second between them at the moment, but I don't think it's going to trouble very much further up the field. Indeed, it's exactly that. But that's pulled him within now 0.6 of the leader, and now just half a second at least away from the front row, but 0.026 from Kevin Magnussen to move to the other side of the grid into the pit lane for Durrani. It's not working for Pipo and the Whelan engineering crew. They were super quick in the free practice session, Jeremy. Haven't been able to replicate it here.
No, they haven't. I mean, the two fastest cars this morning were the number 55 and the number 31, separated by just 0.002 of a second at a 1:14.5. Neither of them has broken 1:15 here in the qualifying session. Dane Cameron, he's done as well, so he's going to settle for second position. Once again, it's going to be Acura for the third year in a row on the pole position here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Unless Harry Tinknell can pull something magical out of the bag.
Not on this lap, but he'll get round to do one more. It is going to be a last lap dash. There's only 3 cars out there. Magnussen, Stephen Thomas and Tinknell, who crosses the line now with 36 seconds to go. He'll be on his own on the circuit. Down into the final corner now. Excuse me, he'll come across the line with 19 seconds to go. That was the 55 that was going through ahead of him. That's Tinknell. So they've both got through. So Stephen Thomas. Who else is out there? Is that the number 8 still out there? Yes, it is. John Ferrano, the Tower Motorsport car, going through. So what was Harry's first sector like? 28.5. It's not good enough. Battle at the front of the field that I thought we might do. Pit lane for Tinknell. Magnussen coming in as well. John Ferrano will complete his lap. He's coming to the line now. See if he improves. Final car on the track to see the checkered flag. 1:21.6. Oh, pretty close to his best time, but not good enough. So it'll be Ben Keating and Pior Matheson Motorsport for his third consecutive pole in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship for the number 52. 1:17.227, so 2.5 seconds quicker than the field. And Philippe Albuquerque, Jeremy Shaw, for the number 10 Konica Minolta Acura, makes it an Acura 1-2 with Dane Cameron in second place. They lock out the front row.
Yeah, hats off there to Philip Albuquerque. That's a really fine effort. That is his first pole position in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship of the prototype drivers now. Only Loic Duval has yet to gain at least one pole position. And generally, it's Tristan Vautier who qualifies the car, did do today, certainly. So another feather in the cap there for Philip Albuquerque. Ricky Taylor won this race last year with Elio Castro Neves, and looking to make it two in a row. And certainly Philip Albuquerque has put that Konica Minolta Acura in the best position to do so by qualifying on the pole position this afternoon.
And sure, it's not been a happy track for Philip Albuquerque here down through the years.
Yeah, he's never been on the podium at this track, and there are very few tracks in North America where you can say that for the championship leader. He was actually a part of a car that didn't even take the start back in 2018, Joao Barbosa, getting hit from behind and coming to a stop well before the start line. They were in the championship hunt that year, credited with 0 points, not taking the start. So for Philippe Albuquerque, getting a pole position here, his first ever pole position in IMSA, even a little bit sweeter. And not to mention those 35 points, that comes in to help, especially when Felipe Nasr and Pippo Durrani are trying to hunt you down.
Well, it's another Taylor pole position. We had Jordan on pole for Corvette. Ricky's car and Wayne Taylor's car on pole position courtesy of Philippe Albuquerque. And that is indeed, Jeremy, very good points for the championship leader. And this is where these points do start to add up.
Yeah, true. That is absolutely a fact. And coming into this weekend, actually, Ricky Taylor and Philip Albuquerque, they've scored 220 points in qualifying prior to this weekend. It's just one more than Felipe Nasr and Pippo Durrani, who have 219 of qualifying points from each of the races. But now this will be a 9-point swing. It'll be 35 then for the championship leaders, Taylor and Albuquerque, and only 26 for the fifth position qualifying effort. It's the worst of the season for the number 31 car. So that'll extend that championship lead just a little bit more. And it had been whittling down these last few races. That's exactly what Wayne Taylor and these boys were looking for.
Thanks to Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. Jeremy Shaw was with me, John Hangduff, in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. We've got plenty of broadcasting to come this weekend. Go to imsaradio.com and go to the bottom of the homepage. You'll see the schedule for RS2 IMSA Radio there. We're live in sound and vision with IMSA action from here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, and from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as well for Porsche Carrera Cup North America. Thanks for being with us. We'll be speaking to you again soon. More action from IMSA to come this weekend.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.